You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Russia's just barred entry to 32 different New Zealanders in response to what they call Russia-phobic agenda. So I wanted to ask, as you're the lone academic on that list, like, what is your response to this barring?
Well, my response to the Russian ban on myself and others is that I, and probably many other New Zealanders, are not Russia-phobic. We don't contest the existence of the Federation of Russia. We don't dislike Russian people. We really are Putin-phobic. That is, we don't like the Putin regime. We don't like what Putin is doing in Ukraine. We don't like the way he is suppressing legitimate dissent and political activity in his own country. So I think the Russian authorities have got it wrong, and I think they should recognize that maybe the alleged Russia-phobic activities that we undertake originate in Moscow and not in any kind of prejudice or bias on our part.
And why do you think this is even a response from Russia?
Well, if you look around the world, the United States has banned, and Western Europe has banned hundreds of Russians from traveling. The Russians have, perhaps predictably, responded in a kind of knee-jerk reaction. And they have banned, by my count, 963 Americans. They've banned, recently, 29 additional British media people. They've banned Pierre Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, Joe Biden, of course, President of the United States. Previously, they banned 121 New Zealand politicians and officials. And so this is really the second round of banning. So the Russians can be, in a sense, this is a tit-for-tat response by Russia to the sanctions, the travel bans, and other sanctions that Western countries have imposed on Russia. So perhaps not unpredicted.
I mean, New Zealand has imposed like a 35% tariff on Russian imports. And again, like, there have been, as a country, we have proven that, like, with the war in Ukraine, that what Russia has done is wrong. But what is going to be more of the flow and effects from this move?
Well, probably no effect at all, as long as the Russians don't engage in some kind of wet activity, that is, kidnapping, poisoning, assassination, which they have done in London, as we know, the Skripal event and others. I don't think that we who are on the ban list are in any immediate danger. The Russian embassy doesn't seem to want to engage in factual discussion or rebuttal of any of the things that any of us have allegedly said. The trade with Russia is minimal, so any sort of reduction of trade is not going to be noticed except by maybe a few specialized companies that are dealing directly with Russia. Our situation is very different with China, of course, but with Russia itself, the amount of travel already is quite small because of COVID and other reasons. So the practical consequences of Russia's ban on New Zealand citizens and any economic sanctions that they might want to impose on us and any economic sanctions that we impose on ourselves, that is, refusal to sell certain items to Russia, I think the economic consequences will be very small. It puts New Zealand in morally a stronger position, able to stand up for principle, to align with other allies that have similar principles and have imposed similar bans and tariffs and other restrictions on relations with Russia, particularly relating to high technology, to military equipment and other things. And therefore, New Zealand is in a strong position with like-minded countries. And in that respect, if there's unity and strength, if the West, loosely speaking, West, which includes countries that are not geographically West, like Japan and South Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, if the West stands together against Russians' aggression, then this may have some effect on policy in the Kremlin. That is, they may want to moderate their policies in Ukraine and elsewhere, because they'll see that the consequences for Russia could be quite serious and quite negative, and they already are. We know that the value of the ruble has gone down, that the Russian economy is shrinking, that they're having a huge shortage of microchips, and other concrete indicators are that the Russian economy is definitely taking a hit. Hopefully this will percolate up to the Kremlin. The political leaders will see, look, this is not good for the Russian Federation, not good for the Russian people, not good for their own regime. And this will produce a change of policy and hopefully a cessation of the aggression in Ukraine.
The fact that Russia's even created like a list of New Zealanders to ban, does that suggest that they could be threatened by, what is it, people expressing their opinions here?
It's kind of scary to be on a list. We know that the Russians have engaged in kidnapping and poisoning and assassination tactics outside their own borders. And, of course, a lot of imprisonment, sending people to the gulags in Russia itself. But given that the major opponents of Russia are in Western Europe, in the United States, New Zealand is pretty much at the end of the periphery of the Western world, that I don't think the Russians have the intent or even the capacity to physically threaten anybody on that list. I think they've made their point. They've symbolically banned us from traveling in Russia. This indicates that they're active in their foreign policy, but I don't think it'll go any further than that. But the government is well aware of this. Intelligence services, the police, the military, the prime minister, who is also banned, of course, they're all well aware that they are on the list, and the security services have been alerted. And if there's any kind of untoward illegal activity by the Russian embassy, they will certainly be aware of. Perpetrators will be expelled summarily from New Zealand, and other protective measures will be undertaken. So I personally don't feel threatened by being on the list, and I assume that all the other 100, well, we're looking at 121 plus 30 plus 32 on the list, and there might be more. The Russians might issue a third list. I think we should carry on with our normal business and not shrink from telling what we think is the true story about Russia's aggression and other kinds of bad behavior, in hopes that this will, first of all, strengthen the solidarity of the Western world, will help truth prevail over disinformation, propaganda, and outright lies, and in the longer term, will curb Russian activity and, in our dreams, maybe bring Russia closer to the rules-based international order so that we can have a fruitful and mutually beneficial relationship with that enormous country.
Thanks for speaking to me on the matter and even giving me your personal perspective, considering how involved you are in that blacklist.
I will continue to be active in the sense that I'm giving talks all the time to public groups and on the media. And some of those talks are entitled Putin's War. That is, I very clearly make it evident that this is a war by Putin and his circle. It's not a war of Russian people against us. And I'm going to continue to put this view out to the public, and the public can make up their own minds as to whether they agree. There's a lot of disinformation floating around about Russia is the victim here, and it's the West that's been aggressive, and we are the perpetrators of this whole thing. Russia's just defending itself. Well, this, I think, turns the story upside down as far as we're concerned, and I think we all have to speak out and say, look, the evidence is that Russia is the aggressor here. And if Russia would stop its aggression, we can begin to negotiate a much better relationship with Russia. And that's what we all hope for.
I have to apologize, Trishel. I accidentally segued into the next piece straight away. The ads were a bit shorter than anticipated. And I didn't let Trishel tell us about what that piece was about. So, Trishel.
So Russia's foreign ministry had slapped New Zealand journalists, officials, and an academic with sanctions for supporting what they call a Russia-phobic agenda. Now, 32 individuals have been added to their no-fly list, up from 121 others, including Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern from before. So that's now 153 New Zealanders that cannot fly into Russia. And the sole academic that got slapped with these sanctions was, well, as you guys just heard, politics and international relations professor Stephen Hoadley. And this is just only the second round of blacklisting on our country announced by Russia.
Yeah, so as well as part of that list, if you were listening in the morning, we did do a story on it as well. The list does include New Zealand's military secretary to the Minister of Defence, Shane Undell, and other leading figures in the country's defence force, as well as the mayors of Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, and Nelson. Now, the mayor of Nelson has responded, and he's proud to have been included for helping support the Ukrainian people. Nelson councillor and mayoral hopeful Matt Lawrie was among those named. He said he was flattered to be banned from Russia and had been getting congratulated for it all day. He understood that he was included for organising two public rallies in Nelson that were held in support of Ukraine and in the wake of Russia's invasion. He said he was pleased the Russian embassy had been taking note of the positive things being done in Nelson to support the people of Ukraine. Lawrie says, I have to say, it all makes the Russian government look a little bit desperate. It does kind of reek of desperation. Yeah, anyways.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.